Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move! What a play!
LeBron James with no regard for human life!
12 seconds. Bryant for the win. Bang! Iverson against Gill. The crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
All right, so how's everybody doing today? Welcome to a special edition of the Sneaker History Podcast.
Special edition.
You're...
I'm sitting here with Terrence Swanson and Ian Williams.
Terrence Swanson?
Terrence.
Did I get that backwards?
That's Ron Swanson.
Did I tongue tie?
Terrence Swanson. Leave that in. That's amazing.
We'll keep that right there.
Terrence been Watson Swanson.
Watson.
What Swanson?
Terrence. I have a speech impediment I'm getting made fun of right now, and that's okay. Nothing I haven't heard since like third grade.
Terrence Swanson.
Terrence what? Sin. The two gentlemen here are helping put together, or really the facilitators of this event we've been talking about on the site and in the podcast, the colorways, or colorways, singular, no, plural, for everybody out there, the colorways.
So it is colorways. The only thing is we had to put the in front of certain things because colorways, like the handle and like the website, just the word colorways itself, didn't work. Like they already existed, so we just put the in front of it just so it could be pretty simple. But it is colorways. Like,
so the website is the colorways for anybody who needs to go in and get tickets still. Well, guys, like, tell us a little bit about yourselves. Like, what's your background before we kind of go about talking event? Where are you?
My name is Ian Williams. I own Deadstock Coffee. I used to work at Nike. It was pretty cool.
Got that story, Pat.
Yeah. I used to do shoe stuff. Now I do coffee stuff so that I can sit around and do shoe stuff all day. I'm just trying to get paid to do shoe stuff again. You know what I'm saying? It's great.
Without the corporate umbrella.
But if the corporate umbrella wants to come in and buy coffee, please. Right. Feel free to stop on by.
He'll sell you a cup.
Yes. A lot of cups if you want them. So as many cups as you want.
Make sure you stamp that cup properly, though.
Yeah.
If you put it around your establishment, to make sure it's adequately stamped.
Repping. Don't go out there with no Fugazi dead stock. You know what I'm saying? No undead stock.
T, how about you? How about you, man?
I'm originally from New York. That's where my pen name, the Lower East Scribe, comes from. Because I'm from the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Been writing professionally, I think, for almost like 10 years now. Started writing at a newspaper, actually, writing about high school sports. I know I write about sneakers and sports and culture now, but my first published story was actually an equestrian story, but I'm very proud of it.
That's horses, if you don't know.
Right. For the laymans.
Yeah, right.
somebody felt real disrespected. They were like, what? What you call me?
But yeah, it was I like to tell people that because a lot of times people try to peg me as like, oh, you're the basketball guy,
you're
right?
The slam guy.
Like, yeah, and I'm like, not that I'm not honored to have like bylines and all kinds of different like publications, but at the end of the day I'm a writer first. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that equestrian story actually it was my first story and it made the C1 like sports like the cover page. And
first try.
Right out the gate, and there was the high school girl who was representing New York that I wrote about. That story made it to like a senator who saw it, and like he was so touched by it, he helped her get scholarship money for college. And her family wrote me a thank you letter. And I was just like, what? This is amazing. Like, this is why I want to be a writer.
To touch for the people. Equestrian joint? Bruh,
and yeah. You're not even Drake. He's giving out scholarships.
In a positive way.
Right.
In
a,
you
know? Very positive.
But yeah, I like to tell people that just so that they don't be like, oh, well, you know, Terrence, he just writes about basketball. Mm-hmm. He just, you know, he knows sneakers. Like, yeah. Nah, fam.
I'm mad about horses, too.
Yo, we out here. You know how many jumps Shorty need to do to get a scholarship?
Right.
Hey, let me know when you start writing about horsepower, brother.
other than that, though, yes, I moved out here from New York City where I was a writer at different publications. I had Bylines and Slam. I used to write for Vibe magazine.
You're from the block, B.
I am from the block.
B.
Don't be fooled by the rocks that he got.
I have no rocks. Not yet. And then, yeah, I also was also doing a little bit of copywriting. Started doing stuff with, like, Game 7. Shout out to Justin Leonard, my mans. Mm-hmm. I was introduced to him through Bobito Garcia, my OG. Enough love to him as well. And, yeah, I just, like, from, like, 2000, I'd say 12 or 11. 11 was a lockout, right?
Mm-hmm.
From, like, 2010 or 11 till about 2014, I, like, worked on a project with, like, Nike Basketball, like, every summer. And then, like, in 2015, I got an opportunity to come out to Portland and work on the Nike Sneakers app. And, like, I was, like, it was, like, at that point, they didn't have any content. It was mm-hmm. just, like, we got inside the vault and that's it. Whereas, like, and I came to work with AKQA and, like, I essentially, was able to kind of sell in, like, I think we pitched initially 7 ideas. And for those who don't know, like, normally when a copywriter or, like, an agency rather pitches any, like, amount of ideas, whether it's 1 or 5 or whatever, you normally pitch a few with the hope that
some get picked up.
Yeah. Right, you can do like 4 or 5 hoping one gets picked. And I sold all 7, and so, like, everybody was like, wait a minute, like, who's this dude?
Mm-hmm.
And then we did a second round and we did like 10 concepts and they bought all those too. So, you know, we out here.
Been doing it.
But yeah, so like a lot of the stuff that you saw on the Sneakers app, but like at least like what I like to call the first phase, like up to about now, like literally like half of it at least was my concepts and some of it I actually got to do. Then I moved out here in the end of that year to work on Nike Lab. Shout out Ray Robles, who's at Beats by Dre now, and my man Marcus Armand, who's over in Nike LA. But they were two people who like recommended me to come out. And then while I was here, I didn't really know a lot of people, so I just kept coming to Deadstock on my Saturdays because I didn't have no friends.
That's how you make friends, people. You show up at places.
You go to Deadstock, make a friend.
Yeah. Yo, and then...
Stand there.
I just pretty much would, like, come through by LeBron O'Palmer's. I got fat, but it was worth it.
Right.
I lost the weight, but I gained friends. You know what I'm saying?
It's that, like, sugar.
I found all the weight he lost.
And, you know, so that's the story. I'm here in Portland now. I've been here since the end of 2015. And
small business weight.
No.
Yo, here we go.
That's two things we've talked about. So Nick's talked about wanting to start a shop, and then we have Ian here with one. And so many people think that the road to being a writer or writing where you want to be is easy. But Terrence, you just said a couple summers, then you got invited, then you had to hustle more. Mm-hmm. And that's with a portfolio already. So everybody out there trying to start a name for themselves, you just got to hustle, talk to people, go meet a friend. I think all of us can attest to socializing and having a connection to somebody is what's going to make that next step possible.
For sure.
So speaking of next steps, there was a lot of collaboration here to start Colorways. So why don't you guys tell us a little bit about what the Colorways is and what inspired you to start it? Like, why have Colorways?
I'll pick this one up.
Yeah, man. Hey, that's the boss.
Nah. So... I mean, like, the whole idea and the whole premise behind, like, even the word Colorways, right? Like, and why we came up with that idea. So the name, actually, Ian came up with it, but I liked it more. And we had another name that I came up with that Ian liked more, but then we pitched it to the team and everybody picked Colorways, mm-hmm. which I'm very happy.
What was the other one? Oh,
do you guys Friends know? And Family.
Friends and Family.
Which we thought was, like, it was almost a little too sneaker-heady. Mm-hmm. And then it also was, like... I think actually, like, the website was already bought. So, like, that also helped, like,
You would just get white kids in Portland trying to throw up weird gang signs too. Oh wow, it would be awkward.
Potentially. I don't know if I thought
Portland's awkward like that sometimes.
I mean, I did see outside of the YG show like a bunch of suburban kids wearing all red, and I was like, wow, this would never happen. Okay,
anywhere
in another city. But yeah, whatever. Portland's cool. So essentially, so once we decided on the new colorways, we started to think about like the parallels of, say, like how we all coexist together and work together and like the sneaker community itself and like what a colorway is, right? So like when you first see a shoe, the first thing that really to me grabs your attention is the color story, right? Like the colorways, mm-hmm. the way they actually come together to tell a story and visually, like, you know, engage with you, right? So like, but when you think about the sneaker community and like you think about like even us, like our friends, our friendships, we all come from really different backgrounds. Like I'm from New York, Ian's like from Hillsborough by way of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a sneaker society within the three of them. Like one dude's from North Carolina, one dude's from Detroit, and Reese is from here. You know, you have Cam Kiyokawa is from here, and then you have like and the people who we've added now, which all kind of come from different parts of the Pacific Northwest, I believe, and one homie from like the Midwest. So again, I'm just saying that this is like
Toronto. Isn't she got game coming out?
Oh well, yeah, she's like extended fan. But like the people who
that's
are
just
like
the homie,
part
the homie.
Of
that's
the
just
core.
The homie. You know what I'm saying?
No, she's fan. But what I'm saying is like you all those walks of life, all those different personalities, all those different perspectives come together to create this thing as well, right? So you parallel that to the way you would like a colorway on a shoe, and then you have something that everybody really enjoys, and like that's where we kind of got the name.
So just from that right there, like my next follow-up question was like, what, like how did the crew come together, like the people putting on colorways? And you kind of just put it out there right there. It's like a whole bunch of different cliques that come together that are like separate, but everybody's still kind of together. Like mm-hmm. you guys are all friends, but you all kind of work independently, work together. What's that like? What's the dynamic behind colorways like?
I mean, really, it's just like you have a whole bunch of people who do something really well. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's like a collective, but I don't really like the word collective very much. But,
it's an all-star team.
But yeah,
you know, it's like labels.
I'm not a label guy.
Addy's touching a label and putting it onto.
This is a heel tab.
With
not a label, but yeah, I was touching a label, huh? You're right. I'm currently putting together some shoes, making patterns. So, you know, I still get on my shoe game a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's just like you have a bunch of people who are all really good at something, and we all feel like, you know, it's one of those like stronger together things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just if you have one person, you know, recycling, not much is going to happen, but if every person does a little bit, you know, then you're going to get a whole lot done. We just had a conversation about recycling outside, actually. In front of the coffee shop, or at the coffee shop, we talk about a lot of stuff. It's not just sneakers, and that's actually the cool thing, is like, when you get together, even speaking on about colorways too, you get together, start talking about the one thing that brings you together, just like sports or mm-hmm. whatever, and then you together have other conversations about other things, and you tackle issues or you tackle problems or you achieve more together.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about.
Well, having such a big collection, group, team, however we want to phrase it,
mm-hmm.
that allows you guys to have 4 full days of real events and content. So like we'll go over more the highlights of each event, but what was the thought process behind picking what events you're doing? Like, do you want to, you know, have some kind of accomplish some kind of goal through each event, or have everything kind of be their own or kind of come together to make colorways, or are they all different from each other?
A lot of the events are they highlight the strengths of the organizers, the main ones. So you have an event that has to do with like a panel discussion and whatnot, has to do with like words, copy, mm-hmm. what you're receiving and how you receive those words. You have an experience or an art exhibition that has to do that blends many different that blends many things together through the lens of art, fashion, and music or sport and all that. Then you have coffee and shoes and how those things actually make sense together. Then you have another event that has to do with music and how music ties into the culture. And it doesn't necessarily mean directly sneakers, but the how everything that is all, you know, athletes want to be rappers and rappers want to be athletes, you know. So then you have, you know, an event that has to do with customization and expression. And it's, you know, those are things that you can't necessarily buy on the shelf, but they are something that have meaning to you because you sit and you create it with someone. So they're all a reflection of the creators of the show or the creators of this event. And then there are other auxiliary events that will happen that the community puts together that are highlighting what the community does well.
See, there's community type events like Coffee and Kicks. You said those two kind of go together, but yeah. It's kind of more of a chill event. You just touched base a little bit about customs. What's that customizing event called?
Cam's Customs.
So what are you guys doing? If you kind of just go a little bit more, like what's Cam Customs about? What's somebody who attends that event gonna expect to see?
So there's kind of like two events within the one. Okay. On the fourth, there's a drink and draw, and I'll tell you a little bit more about the person behind it. It's the homie Cam Kiyokawa. He's like little in stature, but he's mighty in industry knowledge, and connection. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to dry snitch on the homie, but your favorite NBA player probably texts Cam to get him shoes that he probably can't get. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, Cam is really like that connector. And that's one of his strengths, to Ian's point. And one of the, like, one of the subcultures within sneaker culture that he's really connected to is like customizers. So that's where he got the idea of, like, if I got a bunch of my homies who are really good at that thing to come together and like give an experience for like a regular consumer to come in and sit with them and like create something with them. That's a genius level idea. Like that people, you know, and it's also a really just fun thing to do.
You can't go anywhere else and find multiple elite level customizers willing to do their work in front of you, help you with whatever you're trying to do. Like,
no, I mean, most of the time, even when you know, bigger brands do it, they normally have like one person, right? Like
highlighted by.
Yeah, yeah. So like with Cam doing it, it kind of touches on like the thing that he's about, which is community anyway. Mm-hmm. And like the what else makes it really unique is that we're doing it at the Wacom Experience Center on Irving. It's on Irving, right?
I believe so. Yeah. Up on PSU?
Yeah.
No, no, no.
No.
It's 14th and Irving.
Yeah. Yep. Near Irving Street
Kitchen.
North,
oh, yeah, Northwest. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like a beautiful space.
Near the 24.
24 Fitness, yeah.
That's where I get buff at, you know what I'm saying?
Get your swole.
That's where I get swole.
That's where he goes.
That's where I go once a month.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, and shout out to Megan Davis for always putting up with us and like being down to support. Mm-hmm. She's the Wacom Experience Center manager.
Okay.
And so what's going to happen on the 4th of July is Cam had this idea of doing a drink and draw, but replacing like the normal, like, you know, canvas and easel with like sneakers. So Diodora, shout out our guy, Amir Armstrong. Yep. Diodora agreed to like give us some shoes to act as the canvas. And really, people just got to register, come through, and you can draw, paint, whatever you want on shoes on the 4th. And you can take them home.
Yep, if you get there early enough, you might could get your size.
And they register on the website, right?
Yes.
Okay, you'll find the links there and everything.
But the other 2 days, it'll be like the activation where it's non-alcoholic, so everybody can come through. You just sit one-to-one with one of the customizers, and you work on a Wacom tablet.
One-to-one. You cannot get that in other places.
Yeah, and then...
Only in Portland.
You create what you want with that person or with that customizer, and you know.
I'm gonna have to bring in my own shoe. I have a little project I need to help get some, you know, consulting done on.
You don't dabble in the arts,
man. I trust that to the professionals. I mean, because that's why you have these collection of people, because you know somebody who can maybe do something better than you can. So you got to keep people who know their crafts around. So Cam's Customs. And that just speaks to the power of Cam. So community and being able to plug that that volume of shoes for people to pretty much have fun on. Like, imagine the easel, like, next level, 3D. Like, I just can't even think, man. Like, I've never heard of an experience like that, like a drink and draw outside of like painting or do a little sculpture.
Yeah.
Let's just paint on this clay little teapot you just made. It's
often,
on a plate.
It's often the thing that like you're in a relationship.
Yep.
It's the thing that one of the two people in the relationship is not really feeling.
And that gets thrown out when y'all break up.
This one is bae friendly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like
all bays.
Homie
all
friendly. Bays. Bring your all friends.
Bring homies, bring your bays.
So that's one of the really big events we got going on. Deconstructed is another very popular one.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's going on with that?
Man, sorry, y'all. I've been walking around trying to find these X-Acto knives. So this year for Deconstructed, you know, we're trying to do something a little bit different. In the past, Deconstructed has always been about merging the coffee and the sneaker culture, finding similarities between the two things. The first one we did a few years back was about just in general, simple, like what is the coffee made of and what are shoes made of. So we had some coffee drinks that we had cut apart, broke up, all that, or some coffee drinks that we had deconstructed, and you got to just taste or see the elements raw. And the drink that we had on the table or had available was the Lebrano Palmer.
It's delicious.
It's pretty good.
Humble.
It's a coffee, sweet tea, and lemonade. So you just got to see all those things. Lemon, sugar, what the coffee looks like, what the tea looks like. All those things that sounds like it doesn't work together, but it's a beautiful harmony. But then we also just took some shoes and cut them in half, put them up on the wall. And broke it out really simple. Medial, lateral, forefoot, midfoot, heel, outsole, midsole, upper, all that kind of stuff. So just made it really simple, but things that people wouldn't usually see or don't commonly know the exact terminology. The second year we did one, the second time we did the show, we did one that was about the things that you see before you get to the thing that you want. The show was called Boxed Out. And it was about the packaging that your coffee and your shoes come in. And we had some artists from around town put together some unique packaging, both the coffee bag and the shoe box, and some expressions of like what you see before you get to the thing that you want, which are the coffee beans and the sneakers on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, we've been roasting now for about 2 years, and I've been saving up all the bags from when we roast, both the burlap bag and the Grain Pro bag, which most people don't know about. It's a green bag that's on the inside that keeps the beans from spilling out of the burlap.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And neither of those things are really recyclable. They can't really. It's a lot to send them back to the producer. It's a lot to throw away, all that kind of stuff. A lot of times, coffee shops will sell the bag for like $1.50, $5, whatever, because, you know, a lot of people use them for crafts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the Grain Pro bag is just a green plastic bag. So many coffee shops use them for their trash, you know, so that they at least get reused once. But I've been saving them up, and I've had this idea for a little while to make things with them. But I didn't really know what it was. And of course, it always wanted to be sneaker related. So this year's show is called Making Sneaker Stuff with Coffee Stuff. And so gave out bags and stuff like that to a bunch of artists, you know, photographers who will be using it to make frames for their photographs, people making apparel with it. And then I'm actually going to be trying to make some sneakers. So talked about me sitting here making patterns. I'm actually making patterns of shoes that I have cut apart. I'm making the patterns, and then I'm going to be reconstructing sneakers out of them. We'll see how far I get.
Is that a Continental 80?
This is a Continental 80. I also have the patterns for a Dunk High, SB Dunk High.
Options.
Yeah. Equal opportunity. You know what I'm saying? That's talking about equal opportunity roasters. Everybody can get roasted. Doesn't matter who you are. All beans and all people. What are the other shoes? The Diadora Game L Low, pretty clean. And then a Reebok Question, which is my favorite sneaker.
Of all time.
Of all time. The greatest shoe of all time from the greatest basketball player of all time. What up, Nick? How you doing, bro? I know you got my back.
Pound for pound.
Game. The game. You in my office. Look, I'll shut this down. Anyway. All right. So.
Kobe.
Yeah, he's a nice guy and drafted the same year. These dudes fist bumping, man, over some bummy stuff. But anyway. But yeah, so that's what Deconstruct is about this year. It should be pretty cool. Hopefully I'm able to get these shoes done.
So that was a lot. I mean, I wish we could have a whole conversation about who's the best player from that draft class, but
we can do that next time.
That's a whole nother topic.
We already said it.
I mean,
I opinion. Already said it, sorry.
Steve Nash, 2-time MVP. Who has more than Steve Nash that year? I'm playing. I really don't believe Steve Nash is the best player. Most creative passer and best shooter. Yes. All right, but we digress. So there's a couple more events I kind of just want to highlight. Infinite. Like, I've been seeing posters for that on, I guess, do you see posters on Instagram? Like, I imagine a poster in my brain on Instagram.
It's a digital poster.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But you can print it out, put it on your wall.
It's pretty much a handbill, right?
Skateboarding, yeah. Right? I got from that where... Yeah. Bringing together music,
mm-hmm.
skateboarding,
mm-hmm.
art,
mm.
farts. No, I'm just kidding.
No, none of those. Well, probably, but...
I hope not.
Get enough guys in the same room.
So, actually, I'm glad you brought up that point up, because what we're trying to do is get people
guess?
On... No, the guys in the room. What we're trying to do is get people guess? On skateboards that you normally don't see, and that's kind of like Amir, Mundo, and Risa's point. Is they want to like have more representation of like people of color and women.
Maybe they should partner with an organization.
There is one, right? That
oh,
like,
yeah.
What's it called again?
Terrence, have you heard of it?
I think so. They're really popular. Oh. And I think they're women who skate.
Oh.
What are they called?
Skate Like a Girl.
Skate Like a Girl. That's the name.
I mean, it's a genius name.
You know? It is.
But yeah, and we got a chance, myself and Amir, we went to Want to Skate Like a Girl's events, and it was really cool to hear their testimonials about, like, you know, women who just have had their own hardships in that community and, like, kind of pulled together and created their own. Like, they love skating the same way anyone else does, and, like, you know, it's their creative outlet. It's their, you know, sport of choice, and they had to deal with things that didn't always feel so inclusive, and I think, like, you know, in 2019, one of the things I do like is the fact of, like, people are going out of their way, or at least being conscious of being like, hey, like, community is just community. You know what I'm saying? Like we all should just be able to enjoy a thing, come together and like, actually, like, bridge gaps through, like, enjoying something. And so Skate Like a Girl, what they're going to do is outside of Wyden and Kennedy on 13th Avenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to shut down the street and try
shut
to,
it down.
Try to right, yeah. Shut it down. Try to get at least 300 people onto skateboards, with half of them being hopefully women of color women or people of color.
They can be women of color too.
They can be women of color.
Combo, I mean, works.
That happens, and it's awesome. But yeah, the point of it is really like they just want to introduce skate. To people who maybe aren't familiar with it. And I think one of the cool things, too, is, they're taking the creative outlets of art, of music, and of skate, and, like, fusing them to kind of show how, like, highlight how all three of them foster creativity and thinking. You know,
okay.
And so I think it's really cool, and I'm really happy that Wyden, and We Black from Wyden, were receptive, you know, and like Nike SB, they really dug the concept as well, and like the whole premise behind it is like, you know, the idea of, you know, creativity being infinite, like that's where they got the word from.
Another genius name. But people, you can always find family where you don't know that there's family. You can, there's always somebody out there or a group that you could maybe venture out and try something new. I mean, skateboarding for a lot of people don't think, hey, I'm gonna go skateboard today. I'm gonna go try skateboarding. Like, no. That doesn't click in their brain, but who knows? You could try it one day at Infinite and fall in love.
What's funny though is like,
July 4th.
Everybody went out and got skateboards after a while because like they're not posers. Like, they wanted to see what it was like. They're not just gonna do something because they think it's like, you know, profitable. Like, they looked at it like, oh, like, well, what does it mean to be a skater? And like, you know, Ian over here already really knew how to skate. I haven't gotten on a skateboard since I was like 14.
Same
and
boat.
And, like, I think Amir had never skated before, right?
Never skated.
And, like, now Amir, like, is out here. Like, he's out. He's not, like, nice.
Yeah.
But for somebody who was in his early 30s and decided to just, like, try to skateboard, he can, like, you know, you can catch him riding down Coot Street, you know what I'm saying?
And
like,
that gets stressful. The older your legs get, you take a wrong turn.
Yo.
But be bold.
Don't you take a wrong turn. You just hit the wrong curve. Right. Little break in, or a little rock or whatever. Yeah. And this Portland is Chinatown. Streets. Man.
Yeah.
Bumpy.
More than Portland, this is Chinatown. They don't care nothing about Chinatown. Hopefully the city is listening to this.
Right. All right, so all righty, city of Portland. Stop giving me tickets. Start fixing these streets.
That's right.
Fixing these.
Bro, they get you. You're like your butt of your car is in a 1 hour.
Yo, hold up, though. Hold on a second. I have to show love and respect for the parking homie lady. I forgot her name, but today my parking was up. And she came in the shop while it was busy. She said, is that your car outside? The blue one? I said, yes. And she said, please pay for your parking.
Whew. Take pointers if you work in any kind.
Yeah.
Whatever city.
I forgot your name, homegirl. I
don't know what any of that is like because I don't have a license. I'm a real New Yorker. You know what I'm saying? Like,
man, he a real New Yorker who been in Portland for a long time. He ready.
You don't need one, though, at the same time. You don't need one.
I like the walk.
It sounds like team cars versus team not cars.
Yeah.
So there's another versus going on a couple of ways we can.
Like that transition. Pivot.
Yo.
So it's checks versus stripes.
That's what we like.
That's super easy. That's Adidas or Nike versus Adidas.
Maybe.
You're not saying that. Where's Reebok, though? Where's Theodora?
That's part of Adidas. Uh-huh. Right. That's part of the stripes.
Puma's showing some strength this year, but all right.
What's that about? So that's our homie
that's
Kevin.
That's about the culture.
For sure. Homie Kevin Wright, he does all kinds of, like, so he's the owner of Tribute Night. Mm-hmm. And, like, what Tribute Night is, like, he usually does, like, themed parties from here to Seattle to New York and... Funny thing, he's in New York more than I am now. Like, once a month.
If you're trying to have fun, look into that.
Yeah, and then, like, and also, I think, Vegas. But point is, sometimes his parties are, like, you know, Rihanna versus, like, Nicki Minaj or, like, you know...
Nicki.
Kanye versus Drake and, like, that kind of thing. So, like, that's, like, on brand with him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, the idea was to take the artists that, like... I mean, let's just face it, like... Obviously, I love athletes, but I don't think that they move units the same way that, like, music artists do nowadays.
It's factual now.
You know what I mean? And so, like, the biggest sneaker stars are music stars.
Travis Scott, number one right now.
Yo, you know what I'm saying? And so, basically, Kevin's throwing a party that's highlighting that.
Okay.
You know, we're not going to say what... brands that means.
There's two free agents right here. I think we're all free agents, but these are two. I mean, I'm unapologetically Nike most of the month. I might switch it up.
I'm just saying, we're not saying what those brands are, so no one wants to associate or sue us. we're just saying they're all artists who enjoy shoes. And
it's about the music, not about the brands.
Right, the brands. It is the rosters of, like, you know, the brands that you would, you know, probably imagine that they are. And we just thought it'd be cool, right? Like, I mean, to be honest, it wasn't a hard sell to Kevin because it's a lot of the people that he loves anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a really fun night. I mean, you know, who doesn't want to dance to, you know, Beyonce? I like dancing to Beyonce.
When you say Beyonce and you thought other artists, I thought of...
Travis Scott or Drake or Kanye?
Well, no, not just them, but you got Pharrell. Like, one brand seems to be doing pretty darn well with having a diverse musical lineup.
I mean...
I will say that they have always done a great job of having a diverse musical lineup. Or, like, lineup of people who... Like, of collaborators that who do music. And I, you know... Of course, you know, I work for no one.
Mm-hmm.
I work at Desktop. But I will say that they have... I feel like Adidas has always done a really good job of allowing the people that they create with to be self-expressive or to express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it may be to the detriment of, you know, maybe the product being sold. Maybe it's not something that the consumer loves so much or whatever, or that maybe isn't received very well. But I would say that more often it has been great. and positive, and it's clear that it is a reflection of whoever that artist might be. And that has always been really cool. I felt that way even when I was at Nike. I was like, man, you know, it's fun to see great products from the other side and be like, man,
they're killing it. They got it.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like this is good.
To harp on what you're saying though, when you think about the core of both brands, right? Like they kind of neither one can kind of crack what the other one's really good at.
I had artists in my brain still.
Within your context.
What I'm saying is at the core of Nike, they're athlete first.
So Nike are smacking right? in like, soccer right now.
Yo, it doesn't like any sport. They could take table tennis and somehow make that shit fire, mm-hmm. right? Like,
you see that jersey? Like, yo, get out of here! Hey,
it's some cricket jerseys out there.
That are fire. So that's my point. Is like they are able to think athlete first and make you connect to the athlete. And make you just understand their story, relate to them, or at least like be inspired by them. And Adidas is always. But think about when you first think of Adidas and when you first think of Nike, the first thing you think of Nike is probably Michael Jordan, and the first thing you think of at Adidas is Run DMC. So from the very beginning, that's what those brands have been about. And I mean, yeah,
they chose their lanes early on.
Yo, and at the end of the day, like it's funny that now some almost 40 years later, right? Like that's still who they are as brands.
Man, Adidas had that figured out in the 80s and took about 20 years to really, really catch up. Because now, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation
We could do that one another podcast. But I'm just saying, like, that's always been Adidas' strength.
That's going to be a really fun musical lineup. Because, I mean, if you really want to get diverse, you can have Rick Ross on Team Adidas.
He is on it. You didn't see the flyer?
Oh, I didn't. I need to go refresh.
It is. So we didn't put it out. I'm sorry. You know what? I'll take that back.
It's all right. We'll send it to you directly.
Okay. Yeah,
you
know what I'm saying? We'll repost that so y'all can see what we're talking about.
On his Facebook. That's why.
So let's close this out with the closing ceremony.
That was good.
Right?
You're good at it. I'm telling you,
that's
bro.
It.
You're good at this.
We're not going to talk about my panelists?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's got locked up. So, yes.
Man, you...
T, break that down really quick. For a minute, all right, real quick. It wasn't finalized. Now we got that all in...
Nah, yeah.
Got that in stone.
I actually got that today. Like, it took a minute, but...
Who's going to be here?
So... Terrence will be here. I'm just playing.
He will, though.
So, yeah. Sponsored by JD Sports. Plug.
All right.
we're going to have...
Shout out that finish line. Man.
You know what I'm saying? The parent company. So my homegirl Tamara Dia, she was on the front cover of Footwear News, I believe, last year.
Oof.
We knew each other from, like, back in Complex days. She was a VJ with, like, Sean Evans, my man Sean, over at Hot Ones. Mm-hmm. Jinx and Emily Oberg. It was like the four of them. They kind of were like when the content was going like visual at Complex. They were like the big
hard pivot.
Terrence knows everybody.
I don't, not yet. You know what I'm saying? But one day I hope to be like the streetwear sneaker like Godfather, like that new the Netflix doc. Did you see that?
No.
Yo, there's a documentary about what was his name? Clarence Avon. Clarence Avon.
Clarence Avon. Clarence is back.
Young Clarence. I'm trying to be young Clarence. Hopefully I do know everybody at some point. Because, like, this dude literally knew everybody. Like, if you watch that documentary.
What's it about? Is it about footwear?
It's about a man who started in the music industry and, like, made his way to, like, politics to the point of, like, it goes from, like, he gave Snoop Dogg advice when Snoop Dogg was wilding and, like, you know, had, you know, his troubles back in the day before he became America's uncle. He gave, you know, he was out here telling Diddy what nobody tells Diddy. He was out here telling Diddy what to do. And, like, the thing that was really cool about him, real quick, just for the documentary, like, for some people have context, is, like, he, again, started in like, the, like, I'd say, like, 60s or 70s, something like that. It's, like, best friends with Quincy Jones, up to the point where he was actually advising Bill Clinton and Obama. Like, the guy's amazing. I don't think I'm going to get to that point, but, I mean, hopefully one day I'll be advising somebody who's, like, president of, you know, Nike or Adidas or something. Right. I don't know. But anyway, your network is your network, so Ian's not wrong. My homegirl Tamara Dia.
So I do know everybody.
My homegirl Tamara Dia. She started out at Complex. Then she went on to TRL when they revamped it. And now she's at E! News. And I mean, she's a genuine, true blue sneakerhead, like knows her shit, like for real, for real. And so I came up with this idea. Can I curse?
You can.
Oh, I mean.
We do.
Okay.
You're good.
I'm not allowed to.
Fuck. I'm sorry.
So, nah, yeah. Tam, I hit her up like months ago, like, yo, I got this idea. Like, I want to talk about, like, I want you to talk about the evolving voice of women in streetwear culture and sneaker culture. Like, I feel like we're beyond where brands are finally realized, like, shrinking and pinking is not the idea. Like, that's not the wave. And we're seeing more and more, like, genuine content that we all could relate to. Like, my favorite shoe of, like, what was it, 2017? When the Alele May one,
yes,
that shit was amazing.
Silver joint, the corduroy.
Yo, the shoe was fire, and the rollout was fire. It was a story that we all could identify with. It didn't matter that a woman did it, mm-hmm. and that's the point, right? So I think like, and I love Alele for that. Like I think like, to me, she's one of the biggest voices right now in sneaker culture, period. And so like, I was just like, man, like, I'd love to hear where else we're going. As a dude, who I hope I'm an ally if I can be. How do I do that better? Like, how do we do it better? What do brands need to do better? Like, so tried to create like a well-rounded panel. So with Tamara hosting, also on the panel, is my homegirl Megan Ann Wilson, aka She Got Game on social, who is a athlete and celebrity stylist. So I think her perspective to me is always like super invaluable because. She styles mainly like male athletes, right? Like basketball players, football players. She just landed an MLB contract, you know what I'm saying? So, but she's a woman, so she shops for herself and she's designed clothes for women. So, like, her perspective.
Women buy clothes?
her whole perspective to me is like crazy because, like, she has to know what's up for everything. Mm-hmm. Then there's my homegirl, Alisa Jagannath, who, she was the she has another show like it's called For the Kick of It, where she interviews people, mainly women, like about sneaker culture, and she also is a marketing director, formerly of Flight Club and Packer Shoes.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So she's out here,
heavy hitters.
And what I love about her too is like she's a New Yorker, you know what I'm saying? And she 100% doesn't hold her tongue, and she says stuff about sneaker culture from a women's perspective that I'm like, shit, I can't say that because I'm a dude. Mm-hmm. But she's like, she read my mind, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so like I wanted her to kind of like, you know, give her opinions because I always think that they're super strong and valid. Then I asked Shawnee Story, who was a Portland native and a producer and stylist. She works here at in Portland at Wieden and Kennedy. She used to play ball too. So I mean, like, you know, she kind of
cross you then dress you,
undress you with the crossover, yo. You know what I'm saying?
The socks are back there, fam.
For
damn.
Real. my homegirl Raina Coyano, who is a graphic artist. She does like these designs where like she'll create like the female. We actually have one behind you if you look real quick. That Air Max 90, like that's what that woman's supposed to be wearing. So she'll create silhouettes of like women.
It's the Tiger Camo Atmos.
Yo, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, so. You know what I'm saying? She'll create images of women of like what a shoe would be. Ooh. If it was a woman, right? Like
it's a beautiful woman.
Yo, I mean, Raina's
strong woman.
Raina's all right, Robbie. Robbie's over there.
He's like, man, look
he's
at
enjoying that.
That
poster a lot.
Look at that woman.
Let me get that. Let me take that back.
Let me live.
But yeah, Raina's perspective. I've never seen anybody do that though. Like take a shoe and like create something that's like the embodiment of it through a woman's perspective, and like that's incredible. So I was like, yo, like, you know, I asked all of them to be a part of it.
Is that a pun? Like literal embodiment.
Embodiment no, of the shoe.
It wasn't, but I guess I'm sometimes
came out
that good.
Way.
But yeah, it was just like, yeah, I wanted to hear from them. And I think we all will be better for like hearing from them and like understanding, like, you know, just more about what we can do and where we're gonna go.
That picture, like, I would not know what gender made that, other than it's just, I mean, that's just how good it is. Like, it doesn't need a label. It is what it is. It's just it's a beautiful piece of work.
Right. And what's cool about it too is like if you are a sneakerhead, you're like, whoa, like you're blown away.
Yeah.
And if you're not, you just can appreciate the detail of like, oh, like wow, like that's really incredible art. Right?
Well, contour.
I feel like honestly, like if it were, this might be, I don't know, but if it were a guy who designed that, it would be like naked.
Yeah, no.
You know, and
we've all seen those Instagram photos of the girls with, you know, the up tempos and a red thong on. It's like, man,
I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying that there's anything right with it. I'm just saying, like, it's cool. Like, it still looks very attractive and all that kind of stuff. The art is beautiful and everything, but it just, like, I don't know. I feel like it's like how oftentimes, like, dudes just try to, like, power through stuff. Yes. You know, and sometimes you just need to finesse.
It's like, know, with Jessica Jones.
And the attention to detail. Like, we just don't have that.
I like that show a lot.
As bros.
Right? And it's like, she's not hypersexualized, but she's feminine. She's not walking around.
I think what it is like, the female gaze, right? Like,
yeah.
A lot of times, like, when men create stuff that's, like, not for real. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when we create stuff that's, right, like, we just think of it as, like, oh, this is sexy to us.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, this is what we think female empowerment is or whatever. But, like, nah, it's let her tell you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and because she's a woman. So, what a novel idea. Let a woman tell you what a woman thinks.
Right?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
take it from the source authentically? What?
Yo, yeah, you know, it sounds crazy, but I think... Mm-hmm. I think it might work if we just listen to women about what women enjoy and like and want to see.
Authentic ideas are cool, people.
Word.
Just putting that out there. So anybody else on the panel? Or is that the roster?
That's the one that's locked in right now.
I didn't mean to be like, just it, but...
No, I know what you mean. It's all good. That's the one that we have locked in at the moment. At the moment of the podcast.
Right.
Or...
We'll TBD. We'll shout out the rest of the people once we know what's going on. So... Would now be a good time to close out? Could we talk about closing ceremony? I feel like that's like the biggest, I would say it's the biggest. I'm not going to pretend like I'm going to change my verbiage. No. It feels like it's the biggest event of the weekend.
Yeah. Chapters alumni, let me first off say, like, thank you to them. Because, like at the end of the day, like, we were already kind of like a group because we're just friends.
Mm-hmm.
And... when I moved out here, I kept seeing, like, the best hip-hop shows or, like, the ones that I saw, like, being, that were outside of, say, like, the Moda, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, not Jay-Z. Like, not Chance. Like, the rapper. Like,
Chance the other. No, I'm scared.
Chance the like, singer.
So, like, other than them, like, and Travis Scott's show, any other show that I've seen here has been put on by Chapters alumni at the Roseland. And I was just paying attention, to be honest with you. Like, I just was like, wow, like, it's always Chapters alumni. So who are these people? And then I reached out, like, months ago. Like, yo, like, we're trying to do this thing, you know, and we want to work with you guys. Like, you know, I see the power in what you're doing. And, like, what's crazy is, like, I have a running joke with them where, like, when I first started talking to them and realizing, like, what they were about, like, their very first show was in 2009. And on that show was Wiz Khalifa, Currency, and Mac Miller. And they did it out here, like,
you shout know out what Jet Life, dang.
And if you look back, so my joke with them is like, yo, y'all always work with the XXL cover a year before they're on the XXL cover, right? And like, mm-hmm. I have been joking with them, kind of, but I really wasn't, because if you look at it, like, I think 09 or 2010 actually was Wiz and Currency, and then like a year or two later was Mac, and literally on every cover they had worked with someone. Right before they got the cover, and this year they went 10 for 10 because everybody, meaning
10
like,
for 10.
No, so what I mean by that is like each year,
10 years
of having that
10 representatives, like, in 1 year.
So I think, well, yeah. No, but wait, so it, of the like, what was it, 12 people on the cut, I think only two, maybe three, they hadn't worked with yet. So, like, yeah, they really bowed it.
That's a stellar
of this
average.
Year's cover, yeah, no BS, like, pretty much everybody on that cover they've already worked with. And they were able to land Little Mosey as a headliner for this.
Who's huge right now.
Just got a song with Chris Brown.
Yeah.
Everybody's on Chris Brown right now.
Is there two people in there?
No, what I'm saying is there's only two that they hadn't worked with.
Well, I'm saying, like, is there two people that are on the cover right now who are going to be at the show?
Oh, no.
Oh. Okay.
No. But there were other targets.
I'm old, y'all. I don't know these new artists.
I listen to the Young Whippersnappers, so I know what's going on.
These Young Whippersnappers.
I listen to...
You listen to Smooth Yaz.
Stevie Wonder. Marvin Gaye.
One day I came in the studio and he was listening to his Will Smith CD. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hey, man, sometimes you don't need the curse words. You know what I'm saying?
Big Willie style.
You know what I'm saying? Getting jiggy. Sometimes you got to get jiggy with it.
You do. So, I'm down for that.
A little Willennium.
But,
that's the album.
Right? But
So like they're really truly amazing in what they do, and I think like the one thing is they've just been overlooked for mad long. So I felt like, you know, hopefully by like all of us again, like kind of full circle, we all compliment each other with something that we do, right? Like something that we do really well.
You're not the master of putting together concerts.
No, I am not.
They are, though.
They are. So, like, you know, that's why I was like, yo, like, if we just, you know, our powers combine, you know what I'm saying? We make Captain Portland instead of Captain Planet. Right. Nah, but for real, though, it
and was Portland just like, would still be Captain Planet.
Nah, but yeah, it was just like, you know, they had the vision and they had the eye of, like, where they wanted to do it and, like, what they wanted to do. And, you know, and they also, even with their expertise, they've been super, like, open. Which is something cool too.
That's
like
the best.
None of us are like, we're all pretty collaborative, which is cool. Like, I don't know shit about coffee, but if I have a really good idea, Ian will be like, you know what, that's cool, and he'll take it and make it better because he knows it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, and like actually, like the very first thing, the infinite idea came because like I was kind of like talking with Amir and like Asti, and like I kind of like gave them like a base kind of something I thought would be cool, because I do think one of my gifts is being able to like understand how good you are at something,
like Steve Nash.
Yo, I do see two steps ahead sometimes. No, I'm just playing.
He does though.
But for real though,
that's just a point guard,
right?
I mean, I am a point guard, so you know, that's very true. I've crossed you. Don't get embarrassed. Don't get embarrassed.
Selective memory
on the podcast.
Brent, I'm pretty sure I gave it right back.
I mean, he did. But yeah. I'm just saying, the point is, like, to be real with you, like, you give a really good point guard, incredible players, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's an all-star. So, like, that is something that I think that I am good at. Like, if I see the genius in Ian, and I'm always pushing to try to do something new with him. I see the genius in, like, Cam, and I'm always pushing him, like, oh, Cam, let's do something else. Like, you know, and this year, Cam, like, he took Cam's Customs and turned it into, like, an after-school program, and I'm super, super, super proud of him for doing that. And he was able to do that because he worked with Ebeth, you know what I mean, who also works with, from Chapters alumni, who also works at SEI. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And, like
kids.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, and that's not too big on myself. That's more like literally like just like I think it is a gift of mine where it's like I can see something that you guys, you're already incredible at this thing. Yo, what if you did it this way? And then you go take the idea and you make it even more incredible than I could have ever even came up with, because you know it. It's your expertise. You know what I'm saying? So like there's no way I would have came up with what they came up with for Infinite. And like I'm ecstatic to see what a Steve Society comes up with.
Having a fresh pair of eyes is one of the oldest tricks in the book.
Yep.
Like you can't have an app to replicate that, having somebody else give input.
For sure.
So I mean that's the main lowdown of what's going on with Colorways.
Yeah.
I think we'll wrap it up there. So why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
On
the internet.
Okay, on the internet.
Not your home address.
Like,
yeah. I need your zip code, sir.
You can find me at the house.
Don't come to my crib.
Or in the coffee shop.
You can't come to Deathstock. For sure. Actually, that's probably a good place to start. If you're in town, if you're in Portland, if you're coming to Portland for it, come to Deathstock first if you like need a destination, so you can find out all the information of like what's going on and what you should do. But if you're on the interwebs and you want to just look up something, you can either check out our Instagram, and that's at The Colorways.
The Colorways.
For sure. Or you can go to the website at thecolorways.com.
Yep. Buy your tickets there. Reserve your seats for other events.
For sure.
Make sure you get on that. Ian, where can they find you, man?
Oh, me personally?
Yeah. I mean, this is normally the time if you want to get your handle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can find me.
You two are already famous.
My personal Instagram is at eWeezy, eWeezie. Yep. Or you can find me at this. That's not coffee. At that's not coffee. That's not coffee.com. You know what I'm saying? That's not PDFs on Twitter. 408 Northwest Coach Street. We out here. Make lattes and stuff.
Hey, Nova Scotia.
And my.
408 Nova Scotia.
My handles are always Lower East Scribe on everything.
Because he's rich. He can afford. Right. To just get the same one.
I had it since like 2009. Like I just been on Instagram and Twitter for a really long time. That's all.
Nah, he's right. That's true.
Find a good one early and stick with it. Sure. So with that said, I'm Robbie. You'll see me later this week. Thanks everybody for listening and have a good rest of your week. Take it easy.
I bet. See you next week.
What up, y'all? This is Nick again.
Before you take off, I want to ask a few favors of you. First off, if you're still listening, I wanted to thank you for supporting us and continuing to listen to our podcast. If you're enjoying it, and I'm going to assume that you do if you're listening this long, please take a couple of minutes, head over to iTunes, drop us a review, leave a comment, make sure you're subscribed. It's the only way that we can really continue to grow our audience and reach new people and continue to grow the podcast. Second thing is, if you haven't already, head over to sneakerhistory.com/shop. You can pick up t-shirts, coffee mugs, stickers, and some other miscellaneous things. And all of these things go to help us continue this podcast, to continue the site, and just pay for miscellaneous expenses that come up. We're not trying to make a killing off of it, but it would be awesome to have your support. And who knows, maybe run into one of you on the streets one day rocking a Sneaker History t-shirt. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
Hey, hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly 2 decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.